Hi, I'm Chris Kepler, and welcome to Does This Happen to You? I'm an actor, voice actor, audiobook narrator, and writer. I love telling and sharing stories about the strange experiences my friends and I have while doing mundane things like grocery shopping. That's why this podcast features funny stories from fantastic writers about our daily anomalies, a micro audiobook about life and befuddlement just for you. Our story this week is from Matthew B. Johnson, who you'll find on Medium.com. And here is, does anyone actually like pumpkin spice? But seriously, does anyone actually like the flavor of pumpkin spice? It's the purgatory of flavors. It isn't terrible, but it isn't great either. To me, it just tastes like warm milk with sugar and cinnamon. I can make that at home for about 14 cents. Yet Starbucks and other coffee houses and cafes charge $5, $6, even $7 for a pumpkin spice latte. And people pay it, happily. Like they're not getting grifted for an extra $1.50 a cup for some extra cinnamon and sugared up pumpkin-flavored food product. Is it possible that we've collectively fallen for an incredibly effective marketing campaign? That the product itself isn't nearly as good as all the buzz surrounding it? I was waiting in line at a Starbucks a few weeks ago, which, as of this writing, would have been early or mid-August. Specifically, I was waiting for my nitro cold brew with sweet cream, which I ordered because, one, it's one of the few coffee beverages that can actually still give me a caffeine jolt, and two, because it was 107 degrees outside and I was sweating like a rotisserie ham. Already, there were signs all over the store advertising the dates when pumpkin spice beverages would be available. Immediately, that scene from The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, at the beginning of the Battle of Helm's Deep played in my head. So it begins. How did it come to this? A brief history of pumpkin spice. As a food, pumpkin is a pretty healthy option. It's loaded with vitamin A and potassium, and it's high in fiber. But the flavor, well, my favorite description I read called it a bland gourd. Historically, people have roasted, stewed, fried, pied, and mixed pumpkin in with other foods to cover up the fact that its natural flavor is about as appealing as a doughy middle-aged man in a Speedo. In 2003, Starbucks introduced the pumpkin spice latte, and the world collectively lost its shit. In the 18 years since its inception, Starbucks has sold 424 million pumpkin spice lattes. Since then, late August or early September marks the annual rollout for everything pumpkin spice and officially usher in the start of fall, despite what the calendar says. Yes, Starbucks has enough clout to schedule the beginning of fall, even if it's still triple-digit weather outside. And we eat it up like it's a warm pumpkin scone. What's actually in a pumpkin spice latte? Fun fact, did you know that up until 2015, the pumpkin spice latte didn't contain a single ounce of pumpkin? Initially, Starbucks' goal was to develop a beverage that tasted like pumpkin pie. Because who doesn't love a good pumpkin pie? It's my favorite kind of pie, and I'd eat it year-round if I could. But you know what's so tasty about pumpkin pie? The cinnamon, nutmeg, and half pound of sugar that goes into making it. However, the technicians in Starbucks' liquid lab found trying to blend chunks of pie in with coffee proved unsuccessful. though I would be interested in trying a pumpkin pie frappuccino with chunks of actual pie blended into it. And, as far as I'm concerned, Starbucks still needs to make up for discontinuing the chocolate brownie frappuccino. It used to be my favorite. Though I've heard unconfirmed rumors it's still available as a secret menu item. Instead, their coffee chefs, for lack of a better term, took the spices used in pumpkin pie, cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, cardamom, and ginger, and blended it with espresso, sweetener, whipped cream, and milk. What's that you say? What about the actual pumpkin? I'm so glad you asked. Starbucks began using a pumpkin puree in their lattes in 2015. Moreover, they include just enough of it to warrant its inclusion on the list of ingredients. It's so little, however, that it has an inconsequential bearing on the drink's nutritional information. And if you're asking, what the hell is pumpkin puree? Most of it isn't even pumpkin. According to FDA regulations, pumpkin puree can contain articles prepared from golden-fleshed, sweet squash, or mixtures of such squash and field pumpkin. If that's the case, what's in our lattes? Mostly, it's a combination of sweeter and hard-skinned winter squashes like butternuts and Hubbards. So, considering what's actually in it, why is it called pumpkin spice latte? Maybe it's because winter squash, butternut, and Hubbard latte doesn't fit well on the menu board? And it is a bit of a mouthful to say. Also, a winter squash latte doesn't sound like a tasty fall beverage. That sounds like penance. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Well then, say five Hail Marys and suck down an entire winter squash latte. Aw, man. Hell isn't an option? Why do people love pumpkin spice? According to Catherine Franson, assistant professor of biopsychology and director of neural studies at Longwood University in Virginia, the answer has to do with how our brains respond to nostalgia, marketing, and the sweet taste that often comes along with the spice. We like sweet things, no revelations there, as sugar is calorie dense, and we as a species have evolved to like calorie dense foods. This is also why many of us are drawn to fatty foods as well. We like things that remind us of our happy childhood memories. Nostalgia is one of the best drugs known to man, and all it takes is a sound, an image, a feeling, and scent being the sense most tied to memory, a smell, and we flash backward in our heads to good memories we wish we could relive. Sometimes this can backfire. See, the sorrow nostalgia sometimes brings, by Matthew B. Johnson, South of Certainty on Medium. But generally, nostalgia triggers the pleasure centers in our brain. Starbucks has found a way with their pumpkin spice products to cash in on our nostalgia. For example, many families eat pumpkin pie and other similarly spiced treats in the fall. So, it's understandable that we've come to associate these smells with the fall holidays, and that smell association then taps into our sense of nostalgia. Catherine Franson says, "The sweet smell of pumpkin spice might remind us of times we helped Grandma bake pumpkin pie during Thanksgiving." I never helped my grandma bake pumpkin pie. No one helped Grandma in the kitchen, as doing so was likely to result in loss of limb or life. But I've probably eaten my body weight in pie across the various Thanksgivings we've enjoyed as a family. And I must admit, I smell those spices, and I remember my grandma's cooking, my grandparents' house they used to have in the foothills on the way to Tahoe, and time spent with loved ones. Marketing. Starbucks does this as well as any major corporation. One of the tactics they employ is making pumpkin spice products available seasonally. While many other countries and cultures consume pumpkin and its associated spices year-round, Starbucks makes their pumpkin products available for a limited time, capitalizing on people's inherent fear of missing out and on our impatience. If we don't get our pumpkin spice lattes now, we'll have to wait 8 months before they're available again. And in the streaming, on-demand, instant gratification culture in which we live, 8 months is decades away. Who knows if we'll even still be alive then? By making their pumpkin spice lineup available for a limited time, Starbucks creates a sense of urgency in those who look forward to pumpkin spice season each year. And if you don't believe this is effective, you only need to look as far as the hordes of people who shit themselves and line up around the block every time McDonald's brings back the McRib. The takeaway. If you're someone who loves all things pumpkin spice, that's fine. I don't mean to rain on your parade, nor do I mean to disparage Starbucks, as I've enjoyed their coffee for over 2 decades now. And come Christmas, I'll roll over toes and elbow people out of the way to get me some goddamn cranberry bliss bars and a fucking peppermint mocha. Just be aware of what it is you're actually consuming and being sold. There's just enough pumpkin and pumpkin spice to meet FDA and legal requirements. Mostly, you're consuming milk, fall spices, and pumpkin puree, which contains very little actual pumpkin. You're buying nostalgia, or rather, products that trigger nostalgia, and you're buying into a highly effective marketing machine. Now you know, and knowing is half the battle. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the story, let me know and share it with your friends. Follow me at ChrisKKArya on Twitter or Chris K. Kepler on Facebook. Or check out my website, www.chriskepler.com.